There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And today we are continuing our preseason previews of other conferences besides the Big Ten. Tonight we're going to do the Big 12 and the Pac-12. We'll get right down to it here in a few minutes. First, I do want to say that Amazon Prime Day is coming up on July 16th. Amazon, we have an associate's account with Amazon, so we get a referral bonus for all your shopping done on Amazon at no cost to the shopper. It's a great way to keep our content free. It's a great way to reward our writers for the work that they do to put into there. But we have a article up on the site on that right now. After that, it's next Tuesday on July 16th, starts at 3 p.m. It's kind of like Black Friday, but it's online and Prime Day. So with that, we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, we are talking Big 12, Pac-12 today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Sammy. Hope everyone out there is doing well also. You know, it's obviously very hot here, but, you know, you can kind of feel on some of the mornings a little bit of cool air, you know, kind of you can open up the house and kind of in the 50s, and it just gets me feeling all the more excited for football. So it's kind of like, hey, this sort of feels like fall, and when you're desperate for takes head is a good sign.
I don't know if you've been outside today, TJ, but it did not feel like fall.
It does not. Ah. No, today does not feel like fall. Today feels something resembling an oven, I guess.
Yes, or a sauna, something like that. But let's get down to it. Big 12, TJ. Most interesting team. I went between two teams. I went between West Virginia and Texas. Now, West Virginia is not projected to be more than fourth in the Big 12, but they do have the best quarterback in the conference. That's intriguing to me. And then Texas, you know, we've been waiting for Texas to come back to what Texas is supposed to be the last couple of years. Is this the year they finally challenge Oklahoma for a Big 12 title and get back to where Texas football is supposed to be? They're talking about this earlier on ESPNU radio, is that if they could get through the month of September at 4-1, 3-1, and get to that Red River rivalry game at 4-1 or 5-1, they should have some college football playoff talk going for them. They play at Maryland, but that game is at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. They play Tulsa after that. They have USC at home, a tough TCU team at home, and then they have to go to Kansas State, which is always a tough trip for an opponent. So, you know, then they get Oklahoma, Baylor at home, at Oklahoma State, West Virginia at home, at Texas Tech, Iowa State at home, and finish at Kansas. So I think Texas has a shot, real shot, to get off quickly. They have a shot to bounce back into the national spotlight. We'll see if they do it. They bring back the top two rushers from a year ago, even though they weren't that productive. They bring back their two quarterbacks who played a significant amount of time, their top two receivers. They have a lot of guys back. They do lose two of their top tacklers on defense, but with the way – Tom Herman has been recruiting. He should be able to replace there. It's the second year, went 7-6 last year. Them, to me, are a little bit more intriguing than West Virginia, who did go 7-6 last year with Will Grier at quarterback. But he is the if we have to do a player to watch, he's my player to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went with Texas as the most interesting. And I'm kind of thinking in terms of big picture. You know, Tom Herman, considered by pretty much unanimously considered a home run hire for Texas. And I don't disagree with that necessarily, but, you know, and they continue to recruit really well, but that's never truly been an issue for Texas. They've always recruited well. It's just, can they recruit at kind of that top five, top 10 level, which is required to get their program to where their fans expect it to be. You know, on in terms of this year's team, it's a really, you mentioned the schedule, so I won't rehash that, but it's a really interesting schedule in terms of games that you would expect Texas to win, but they're certainly not guarantee games. I mean, Tulsa's not bad at all. That's a solid program. USC, obviously, a big-name brand that we'll talk about in our Pac-12 talk. Maryland, you know, that's a game you would expect Texas to win, but guess what? Maryland went in there last year and beat them at home, ruining Tom Herman's debut. So, you know, you got Sam Ellinger at quarterback, or is it Shane Buechele, two guys that it seems like Ellinger's probably the guy, but Buechele, certainly an accomplished player in his own right, but both have their flaws. So, it's a team that probably has a ceiling of about 9 wins, I'd say, given their schedule. I don't really think that them getting through October 6th, I don't see them getting through that, which is the Oklahoma game, with anything better than 4-2. And if that's the case, then you're looking at probably a 9 wins as a ceiling. Now, is that good enough for their fans? Well, probably not on a consistent basis, but I think than that, I think maybe they start to have some questions creep up in the back of their heads as to whether or not they can return to a level that they'd be pleased with. And it certainly hasn't helped their fan psyche that rival Oklahoma went to the college football playoff, got so much attention with Baker Mayfield, and had the young coach their own of Lincoln Riley that is looking like every bit the young hot shot that Tom Herman was. So, that's my pick, and I think it's in a conference full of programs that you know, are kind of wondering where they stand in terms of financial footing and TV money. Texas does not fall into that crowd as they continue to rake in revenue with their athletic program, but nonetheless, I think that they do have to kind of ponder whether or not they can consistently match up with the big boys, which is certainly what they consider themselves.
Yeah, and a lot of that ire towards Texas came when the Big 12 kind of dissolved. They have their Longhorn
yeah.
network. It's you know, they're kind of like, you know, put up or shut up time for Texas. Tom Herman came in last year. You said it. He all the expectations in the world to return Texas to glory. All right, let's move on to the best non-conference game. And I didn't want to pick the same games as we picked last week for both of these conferences or the same game both times this week. So with the Big 12, I went TCU at Ohio State. TCU is going to be pretty good this year. They're expected to finish, you know, top three in the conference. They have two kind of soft games coming in with the open with Southern at SMU. The game is in Arlington, a rare mid-season non-conference game at a neutral site. It should be a lot of TCU fans there, a lot of Ohio State fans there. They're coming off an 11-win team. They bring back Darius Anderson, who ran for 768 yards last year. They will be breaking in a new quarterback, Sean Robinson, who's a sophomore. Got some playing time last year. But this is a game where maybe TCU jumps into that national conversation with a win over Ohio State. And I know Indiana fans listening, there would be nothing better than having Ohio State lose down in Texas to TCU.
That's a good one. That's probably my pick as well. In the interest of, you know, having a little bit broader perspective, I think West Virginia at North Carolina State's a really interesting game. West Virginia, Tennessee is somewhat interesting. And I'll talk more about the Mountaineers in a little bit. But Oklahoma State hosting Boise State. Boise State on September 15th game in Stillwater. Not really sure what Oklahoma State's going to have. Certainly you expect them to be good on offense. Justice Hill is one of the most underappreciated running backs in the country. And, of course, they'll have some athletic receivers that can get the job done. But they're replacing an awful lot, and they have to find an answer at quarterback. So that's kind of an unknown. And then Boise State figures again to be one of the top group of five teams out there. So if they can go to Stillwater and get that victory, maybe they can, you know, begin to mount the campaign for a spot in the New Year's Six. But I'll go with that one. But I think the answer probably is going to, in reality, be the TCU-Ohio State game, because it's a chance for TCU to stamp themselves. And it's really a game that the Big 12 could use a win for sure, but they can't really afford to have TCU go and get the doors blown off of them by Ohio State. That would be a real bad look for the conference that I personally don't think has much of a shot to get a team into the college football playoff unless somebody, you know, I would say really exceeds expectations. So that's a game perception-wise that the Big 12 could really use.
Yeah, and you talk about perception games. You know, Oklahoma's has UCLA coming in. We don't know what UCLA is going to be with Chip Kelly taking over Texas as USC. Ohio
well,
State,
how about
we
that
know.
Opener for Oklahoma? The opener against the Lane Train.
Yeah, the Lane Train's coming into Norman, too. Lane Train against the Boomer Sooner. We'll see what they do there. Anyway, let's go best conference game. I went the season finale, regular season finale, of Oklahoma at West Virginia. If you like points, the Big 12 is the conference for you, and this game is – very liable to be one of those 63-55, like, don't show up with defense, just throw it around the yard, you know, pick up games that's fun to watch, exciting, lots of offense. So that's my best conference game. We added this from last week, so that's the game at the end of the season, although it's the same day as the Bucket game. That's the game it's on the Friday night. So if you're not doing anything Friday night for the Bucket game, that's the game I'm tuning into, and I would take the over.
Yep, that is also my pick, and I'm going to be going kind of Mountaineer heavy here as we continue the Big 12, but I also went with that one, and you'll understand a bit more why a little bit later.
Yep. Best uniform, it's got to be Texas. I'm a traditionalist on uniforms, especially in the Big 12. Texas has got those crisp white uniforms. They have the burnt orange jerseys at home, and they don't really go alternate uniforms all that much because their regular set of uniforms is really, really nice.
I don't disagree with that look. I like Texas's classic look. You will not agree with me here, and that's perfectly fine. Oklahoma State, as long as they don't wear much gray, I really like Oklahoma State's uniforms. They have retooled their cowboy. They retooled Pete a little bit, and he cool look. But the orange and black, as long as they stick with orange and black, I really love them. When they start to use gray as a primary school color, I don't really understand it, but sticking with the orange and black, which they did more of last season, I really like that look. So I'll go with Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I don't mind Oklahoma State. TCU has a good color scheme, too. I like the purple and black, kind of like Northwestern as well. Best game day atmosphere. I am actually going to go off campus in this one. The Red River rivalry out in the Cotton Bowl, the Texas State Fair. It's got to be one of the best college football rivalries in the history. and just going to Texas State Fair as well. You'd make a weekend out of it, and it'd be a lot of fun.
That's a really solid pick. I didn't think about that, to be honest, but that would be a really cool event to go to. You know, the wide shots on TV, you see the just split straight down the middle, red versus the orange. It's a really cool look on TV. I'm sure it'd be an awesome game to attend in person. Fan bases definitely do not care for each other, so going as a neutral would be a lot of fun. I went with West Virginia, Morgantown. I think it'd be a lot of fun to go there, a unique atmosphere, passionate fan base that's really proud of their school. And then I think the end of game where they send or they sing Take Me Home, Country Roads, I think that's just a really cool scene. Obviously, I have no ties to West Virginia, and I even get, you know, a tiny bit, not emotional or anything, but I can understand how someone that's from that state would get emotional singing that song together with the other fans after West Virginia home game. So I'll go with Morgantown.
Yeah, gets me to my sleeper team is West Virginia. I think that Will Grier is the wild card in the conference. If he can lift up the rest of that offense and put together, you know, enough points to overcome their deficiencies in defense, they could be a real player. They get Oklahoma at home. They get TCU at home. They do have to go to Texas and to Oklahoma State. But Grier threw for 3,490 yards last year, 34 touchdowns. He brings back his leading receiver in Gary Jennings. David Stills is back, who had 18 touchdown receptions last year. They bring back two of their three top rushers from a year ago. The issue is defense. Have they recruited enough on defense? Mm-hmm. Can they score more points than they let up? It's kind of going to look like one of those mid-2010s IU team where there's not very much defense, but they could score with the best of them. So that's why I have West Virginia as my sleeper team, although they'll do it loudly with a lot of points, but they can sneak up in there and make a run for this conference crown.
Yep, I went with West Virginia as well. I mean, I think their wide receiver core, I think, is really underestimated. You mentioned David Sills. I don't think people appreciate how good he was last year and how good he might be this season. He's an absolute All-American. And then at left tackle, Kajus decided to come back for his senior season. That's a big boon for them. They return most of their offense, and the guys that they lost I do not think are irreplaceable at all. I mean, T.J. Simmons is their sophomore wide receiver coming back. That's a big guy to step in for a starter that was lost. I mean, Gary Jennings was kind of their second wideout. He had over 1,000 yards a season ago. So I really think that this offense might be one of the five best in the country. And Holgorsen is certainly no stranger to having good offenses. He knows what to do with them. You're right, on defense, it's a question mark. Really like their defensive coordinator, Tony Gibson. I think he's one of the better ones in the Big 12, which I know is not a huge bar, but they did get some transfers that are going to help out, hopefully. The schedule is not too difficult to navigate, but it does provide them with some opportunities to spring an upset or two. I went with West Virginia as well, and I think that their offense is going to be exceptional, and the defense, I think, is going to outperform expectations.
Yeah, well, that brings us to our conference champion. How the Big 12 does it, they do have a conference championship game at the end of the year. It's the top two teams in the conference to play each other. I believe it is at a neutral site, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yep.
I think Oklahoma takes the conference championship crown. I think they'll probably play either Texas or TCU there at the end. How I feel about a second Texas-Oklahoma game during the season. First one's great. Sure, I'll sign up for another one. But we'll see. I'll take Oklahoma, defending champs. They bring back Kyler Murray, who, if you're an Oakland Athletics fan, and I don't know how many Oakland Athletics fans listen to this show, you have to be holding your breath every single Saturday. He was a first-round pick of the Athletics. They put a lot of money into him. They're allowing him to play football this year and just taking a chance of him getting hurt.
Yeah, I went with West Virginia. And I know that is a wild card pick. I know it's out there. And I understand that defense is in all likelihood not going to be good enough to win a conference title. But the fact that they do get Oklahoma at home in a night game on a Friday, I think that offers enough opportunity for West Virginia to get that done. I don't think that anybody emerges from this conference with fewer than two losses, so I don't think that they're going to be a playoff contender. But I expect – I'm picking West Virginia to win this because I don't feel all that good about Oklahoma as a repeating conference champ. I think they lost a little bit too much that they will not be able to replace right away. So I went with West Virginia, and that's an out-there pick, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it should be an exciting Big 12 season. Everybody plays everybody at least once. Then you have the conference championship game. It's how people want some of the conferences to go. But, we'll see. Now, on to the Pac-12. It is 6:51 Eastern time, so they're getting some prime time talk here on the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It's not Pac-12 after dark just yet, but one of my favorite things about the college football season is staying up late watching these Pac-12 games at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, especially coming back from a 3:30 IU game and just winding down watching these games. Most interesting team is TJ. I picked Arizona for several reasons. One, they're bringing in Kevin Sumlin to coach. Arizona waited and waited and waited. I think they made it out the best of the coaching hires at a place that they could do. Kevin Sumlin is a proven commodity, and he'll also have a Heisman Trophy hopeful Khalil Tate running the show at quarterback. What he could do in offense, Khalil Tate kind of has a little bit of Johnny Manziel in him, and Kevin Sumlin, Coach Manziel, we'll see what they could do. Now, what else is interesting in Arizona is Arizona, their rival, made another hire. They brought in head scratcher Herm Edwards. It was a coaching hire that I still really don't understand, other than that his former agents have an AD over at Arizona State, but we'll see how they do. Arizona also has, and I'll talk more about Arizona later, but who's your most interesting team?
Well, for the future, I'm really interested in what UCLA does, but I don't think they'll be all that interesting this season under Chip Kelly. I think they've got a lot of work to do before they're anything more than just a future program. I'll go with Oregon. They get marquee home games. I mean, all their big games are in Austin Stadium. I think they're going to be really good on offense, mainly because of Justin Herbert. They were incredibly good with him last season, and things fell apart when he was injured. So I'm going to go with that, and then I think that Leavitt is one of the better defensive coordinators in that region. So I think that they'll be improved on defense, continue to improve a little bit there. I don't think they'll be spectacular on defense, and they are in the tougher division. But I went with the Oregon Ducks.
Oregon's a good pick. Let's get into best non-conference games. I said USC at Texas. I didn't want to use this for both of the Big 12 and the Big Ten or and the Pac 12 conferences. USC is going to be a national title contender. Texas could be an up and comer in the Big 12. It's a home game for Texas. Austin, that's a tough place to play. It's early in the season. It's going to set the tone. That's one of those skins that the Big 12 needs to boost their conference profile for the college football playoff. Same with the Pac-12. To go on the road to Texas and bring back a win would be impressive feat. So that's my best non-conference game.
I went with Washington Auburn. I think that they've got some good games. Washington Auburn is certainly the one on the national stage that's going to get the most publicity for obvious reasons. You've got two potential top 10 teams, and it's one that the Pac-12 really desperately needs to have a good showing in, because Washington is perhaps their only playoff contender. We'll see about that. You mentioned USC, so we'll see about who can kind of step forward besides Washington, but that's one they really need. One under-the-radar one would be Arizona and Houston in week number two. That should be a very entertaining game that Arizona could make kind of an early statement in with a tough road game. And kudos to them for playing that one as well.
Yeah, after Houston had beaten Oklahoma and a couple other teams. TJ, speaking of under-the-radar games, let's go back to the Big 12 for a second for the ultimate game under the radar. It might be under the ground. Rutgers at Kansas. That is happening kudos to Rutgers for scheduling that team, because I have been dying for IU to schedule Kansas as their Power 5 non-conference game. That game is going to set the tone for both team seasons. If Kansas wins, that's improvement. If Rutgers goes in there and loses, that could be a disaster for Chris Ash. Kansas has won three games in 3 years.
Yep.
They went 0-12, I think 1-11 and 2-10. So there might be 10,000 people there, but we'll see. Okay, back to the Pac-12. Best conference game, I'm going to go USC at Arizona. And again, I'll talk about Arizona later as my sleeper team. I think that this screams midweek Pac-12 after dark craziness with Khalil Tate. It's early in September. It's a tone setter. If you could go into the desert and beat Arizona, that's great for USC. And then, you know, who knows what happens after that. But seeing Khalil Tate against a USC defense, that's probably my best conference game, one that I'll have to sit down and watch.
Yeah, that's a really good one, and I think it makes sense given I think USC is susceptible this season. I happen to think that they have a bit of a drop-off coming this year, as I don't necessarily – obviously you don't love to rely on a young quarterback like they're likely going to do with JT Daniels. I don't really trust – that Clay Helton is anything better than pretty good as a coach. So I think USC is gettable this season. So Arizona, there is a nice pick. And I will go to the north and take Washington at Oregon on October 13th. I think that one is, again, another opportunity for Washington to prove that they are a college football playoff contender. And possibly a favorite to make it to the college football playoff. If they can beat Auburn and win at Oregon, that would be two very big feathers in the cap, no pun intended. And then Oregon, I'm very interested to see if they can beat the Huskies on October 13th. The rest of their schedule is not too terribly difficult. While I don't expect Oregon to make a run for the division title, obviously if you can beat the division favorite in your home stadium, you have to say, well, we've got a shot to do so. So That's going to be an interesting one there because, really, I mean, they've got Stanford on September 22nd, so we will know whether or not they're going to be a real threat. But if they can knock off Stanford on the 22nd and then at Cal on the 29th, and then you've got a bye week and then Washington coming on October 13th. So that'll probably be a, you know, a nighttime game in Austin Stadium, kind of that probably 10:30 Eastern time window. I'm looking forward to seeing that one unfold because it's going to be kind of a huge early test for in the Mario Cristobal era, which I don't know. That was an interesting hire. It made sense given when they had to make it. And I think that their fans will feel much better about it if they can knock off Stanford and then knock off Washington. And after that, it's all downhill. The rest of their schedule is manageable outside of a trip to Arizona and Utah.
All right. Let's go with best uniforms, TJ.
Mm-hmm. I went with Oregon. I know that that is probably not the pick. I love UCLA's, but I'm still kind of mad that they tampered with them. The look that they have right now is better. They've gone back to a little bit more traditional. And I like USC's. I understand why some would say, oh, those are easily the best. I like USC's. I don't think they're that amazing. But I like Oregon. I think that they've gone a little bit away from kind of the crazy looks. And their uniforms are not that garish anymore. They're just not that out there. I think that they have relied a little bit more recently on kind of their retro looks, which I think are really, really nice. White helmets with kind of their retro duck logo. I think a nice shade of green and a nice shade of yellow. They relied on those as opposed to kind of the chrome looks and, blackouts and all that. I think going with their green and yellow and kind of the retro logo, I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with UCLA. I like the powder blue and gold look. I really do. I like Oregon's. It's fun and interesting. But UCLA is just classic, especially playing in the Rose Bowl. It clashes with the green. Probably my favorite uniform game is USC-UCLA. Well, they'll both wear their home colors. So I'm going to go UCLA. How about game day atmosphere?
Well, I think this is a lot of really good locations for Pac-12 games. Obviously, you would be hard-pressed to say, USC, UCLA, awesome. Stanford, awesome. I mean, really pretty places. I don't think a lot of great necessarily atmospheres, however. I think the better atmospheres are probably by and large in the Pac-12 North with Oregon, I think, has a really good atmosphere, it looks like, on TV. But I will go Washington, and I am a bit biased here. My brother lives in Seattle. I'd love to get out there for a game at some point. The stadium there right off the Sound. You can tailgate on your boat if you happen to be fortunate enough to have a boat. And I think it looks like a really cool spot. And the weather generally pretty tolerable there during football season. So I'll go with Washington, and they've got some really nice new facilities as well. So I'll take Seattle.
I had Washington last year. Team last year, tailgating on a boat. I picked Tennessee and I picked Washington. I think tailgating on a boat would be phenomenal. This year, I'm going to go with I'm taking a page out of TJ's playbook and going with Oregon, Austin Stadium. It's a raucous crowd, small stadium for what it is. I think it holds about 54,000. Some great games coming into Eugene this year. You have fantastic facilities. You can see where U.S. track and field performs as well. So I'm going to go Oregon and Austin Stadium. So who's your sleeper team, TJ, in the Pac-12?
Well, Yeah, you know, I've kind of laid the love on Oregon fairly thick, but I find it hard to pick a sleeper out of the North to think Washington's going to be really darn good. So it's hard to rise too much in that division, which I think has five really quality teams. Cause I think Cal's going to be pretty good too. So I think the North is a really good division. I don't have as much faith in the teams in the South. And as I mentioned, I think USC is susceptible, and I think Utah is about a year away from being really good. So I'll go with Arizona. I think that they do have the capability to have a obviously really explosive offense, a lot of wide receivers coming back, three senior starters there. The offensive line, a bit of a concern, but it's hard to be too overly concerned about an offensive line when you have a playmaker like Khalil Tate there at quarterback. And then I think that their defense, while it was honestly pretty terrible last season, they do return nine starters. They've got good experience there. They had a lot of injuries in the defensive in their defensive backfield and up front that I think maybe, no doubt, I think hampered their ability on that side of the ball. You know, a new staff, a new energy. I don't think Kevin Sumlin is going to change too much about what they do, that they're going to take a lot of time to get used to it. And then, you know, the schedule's doable. But they don't play Washington. They don't play Stanford. And they get USC at home. And they get Oregon at home. So, you know, I think it's a very doable schedule. And certainly some landmines on that schedule with Houston week two. But I think that they're a really interesting team that I happen to pick to win the South.
Yeah, I picked Arizona as my sleeper team as well. I will double up on yours, but I will also pick Utah as a sleeper team. Our team, a lot of returning experience. They get Arizona at home. They get USC at home. They get Oregon at home. And they get Washington at home. Utah, Salt Lake City is a tough place to play. This Utah team is very, very consistent. We saw them in a 2016 bowl game. They bring back their top three leading rushers. They bring back their starting quarterback. He threw for 2,400 yards last year. They have some receivers to replace, but the defense is usually always stout. They have a reasonable schedule. BYU to end the season. You do have to go to Colorado, to Arizona State, to Stanford, and at Washington State. But to me, I wouldn't be surprised to see Arizona and Utah really steal a game or two from USC and be in contention for that South. How Utah's in the South, I don't know. But Utah, to try and be in play for that South Division crown. But with that being said, I do like Arizona. I think they're, with the coaching change, that'll inject some life into that program. But both of those schedules, players, coaching, and experience, I really think that both of those coming out of the South are your sleeper teams there.
Yeah, I think that they got a really tough draw out of the North, getting Washington, Stanford, and Oregon all out of the North. I think that's really tough. You know, they don't get to play Oregon State. They don't get to play
and Washington.
You know, they don't
State.
Get to play Cal. So I, you know, is I mean, if you have season tickets, you're gonna really love the season, the matchups you're gonna see there in Salt Lake City this season, but. I just think that they got a little bit tougher of a draw than Arizona did. And given the choice between the two, I just went with Khalil Tate as a difference maker there. But I think both are solid choices, and I could see certainly either one of them taking the South from USC.
Yeah, and then with that, let's do division champs. TJ, you're division champs.
Washington, I think for me, Washington is my conference champ, and then I went with Arizona in the South. I just don't, and I know that it could look really bad if if that defense continues to underperform, or obviously if Khalil Tate gets injured, all bets are off. And if USC is just better than I'm giving them credit for, because they do return quite a bit on defense, and their offensive line is in really good shape as well. But from where we sit right now, so give me Arizona, give me Washington, and then I'll take the Washington to win the Pac-12.
I'm going to go Washington in the north and USC in the south. I'm not ready yet to take another team other than USC. They do lose a lot, but they always seem to replace them. It's Hilton's fourth year here. They're clear of all those sanctions. They do return three out of their top four rushers. Matt Fink is a sophomore coming in. He's 6'3", has prototypical quarterback size. They bring back five of their top seven receivers, or four of their top six receivers. They do have to replace Darnold. They have to replace Ronald Jones. Their defense is littered with guys who are returning. They don't really have that. They miss Washington in the regular season. They miss Oregon, too. You get Notre Dame at home, which doesn't really play a factor into the conference standings, but you'll know where this team is week two when they go to Stanford. If they lose at Stanford, they could be in trouble. Then you have to back that up with a game at Texas. You have to go to Arizona and at Utah. Say they lose both of those, that'll open the door for somebody else. But I don't think they lose both of them. They probably will split them. And then their draw out of the South is pretty nice with Arizona State as well and Colorado. So I'm taking USC as my South champion. And we'll see. I meant the draw out of their North. The draw out of the North with California, Oregon State, and Washington State and Stanford. You know, they could go 4-0. They should probably go 3-1 at the very least. You have to go play at UCLA for a big game at the end of the year. And then we'll see what they do out of that. But USC, until they prove it to be otherwise, are my South Division champions. All right, TJ, that is wrapped up four out of the five Power Five conferences. We'll do a whole big Big Ten breakdown after we finish the group of five. We'll be talking some action, Sun Belt Conference USA's next week as well. So we're going to touch on every conference in the FBS. If you have teams that fans want us to touch on a little bit more, or conferences a little bit more, feel free to shoot us an email, DM on Twitter, anything. TJ, once again, thanks for joining me on a wonderful summer afternoon.
Yeah, when are we doing the American then? Are we doing that with the group of five or?
Yeah, we'll do the American with the group of five. So we'll do the American with the group of five.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap it all up in a couple of weeks with a big, probably a two-parter Big Ten East and West preview.
Yeah. All right, that sounds great. I think you and I are certainly kind of in that diehard group that loves the group of five schools, has our pet schools, if you will, that we for whatever reason like to follow. And I know the American is pretty interesting as well, so that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, and we have a resident Maction expert on our staff and Alex Compton, who's now living in Buffalo, so he'll get to see some more Maction games up there with the Buffalo Bulls. But anyway, thanks for joining us on this Monday night. We'll be back next Monday to talk about the Group of Five and the American. Please follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Find us on Facebook as well. Remember, Amazon Prime Day is a week from tomorrow on Tuesday. It starts at 3 p.m. All your shopping, it doesn't cost a shopper a dime, but all your shopping gives us a referral bonus. It helps keep the site updated. It helps us on road trips. It helps us give a little bit back to these writers who do such hard work and such good work for us. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the evening, and we'll be talking more college football next week.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.